Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. I'm Pastor Tim. Can we welcome all our campuses joining us today? Church Online, what's up, guys? Glad you joined us. Hey, huge congrats to all the families who had your children dedicated today. It is an honor just to love on your kids, bless your babies, help raise them to know the Lord. You need to know this, guys. Our church is literally bursting at the seams with babies. Did you know this? Across all Liquid campuses today, we had 77 baby dedications. 77 babies. That's amazing, parents. As your pastor, now I finally know what you were all doing during COVID. You gave me a little insight there. I just kid. It's Father's Day. I always like to start with something funny. Anybody here like dad jokes? My kids, the more it makes them cringe, the more I want to do it. Any dad jokes here? Okay, it's Father's Day. Who's the father of Little Caesar? Anybody? Papa John. Okay, there you go. Sorry, that was a little cheesy. All right, last one. I heard about this little boy who asked his mother how the human race got started. And his mom explained, God created Adam and Eve, and they had children, on and on, and here we are today. A few days later, a little boy asked his dad the same question, and his father explained, many years ago, there were monkeys, and little by little, they evolved, they became more like people, and now here we are today. And the boy was confused, so he went back to his mom, and he's like, I don't get it, Mom. You said God created people, and Dad said, we came from monkeys. How can that be? And his mother said, oh, that's easy, honey. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his. Happy Father's Day, guys. You rock. All right. Listen, I love being a dad. I don't mind making my kids cringe. I'm a father first, then a pastor, and I've been blessed to raise two amazing kids. My daughter, Chase, my son, Walker, they're both in college now. She's taller than me. He's stronger than me, but we're friends, and I'm so proud of them. But I need you to know I was not a perfect father. In fact, I remember one of my epic father fails when my son was about 7 years old. I had a beat up Ford Explorer with about 150,000 miles on it. I like to drive cars like into the ground. So I took care of it, but we lived on a double yellow line road at the time. And one afternoon as my truck was parked on the street, a delivery truck went by and kind of sideswiped my Explorer and it sheared off the side view mirror. And I was really peeved. The guy didn't stop and I go out and the side view mirror is actually hanging there off the side of my truck by a little thread. The casing broke off. But oddly enough, the mirror was not shattered. It was intact. I couldn't believe it. Casing cracked, mirror didn't. But because it was like so small a repair, I didn't like call insurance. But because I was too cheap, I didn't take it to the body shop either. I was like, I'm gonna fix this myself. And son, I'm gonna show you how to do car work, okay? So I took my son to the junkyard. We found the casing of an old Ford Explorer, a mirror on the side, brought it home. And we got to work. It's like father and son, we're replacing the side view mirror. Again, he's only seven at a time. And so I took out the old mirror. I laid it carefully on a towel. I was like, son, hand me a screwdriver. No, that's a hammer. Thank you. Screwdriver. Yeah, here's how we do this. And I disassembled the old casing. I said, now hand me the new one, son. And he hands it to me. And I had to, it wasn't perfect. I had to use some crazy glue to get it mounted. And then I said, now, son, hand me the mirror. And in his little chubby little seven-year-old hands, he takes the mirror and he holds it out. Here you go, daddy. And I was like, okay, thank you. Now, and he's still holding it. I go, and then after that, hand me the screwdriver. He goes, okay. And he drops the mirror to get the screwdriver. It shatters into a million little pieces. And talk about a dad fail. I was wearing a cowboy hat at the time because it's like weekend, I'm wearing a cowboy hat, And I literally remember I took my cowboy hat off and I threw it on the ground and I actually go, no, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, I've been saving that mirror for 5 weeks. My gosh, boy, what's wrong with you? And the moment those words came out of my mouth, instant regret. Like I could see the wounded look in my son's eyes. Like here's a seven-year-old little boy and here comes this 200-pound gorilla. Girl, what's wrong with you? Fathers, understand your words carry weight. Your words are heavier than every other person in that child's life. I mean, what's wrong with you? I should have said, what's wrong with me? Listen, parents, I don't care how upset or frustrated you get. One thing you never say to your child is, what's wrong with you? Because it's one thing to make a mistake, but you never act like your child is a mistake. And he cried, and I was mad, and after I cooled down and reflected a bit, I realized how stupid I was. And I had to go back and apologize. I think that's what I hope my kids will remember of me when they're older my age, that Dad was the first to apologize. And I was just like, son, I'm so sorry Daddy got angry. It is not you. The truth is my anger got the best of me. Like a lot of men, anger is something I've struggled with my whole life. I think every man who's ever walked a little time on earth has felt angry or frustrated, hurt or fearful at some point. And one of the most natural responses in the world is anger. And so today for Father's Day, man, I want to teach you how to manage your anger in a godly way. Because anger is one of the most common male emotions. It's also, I believe, the most misunderstood. A lot of people always assume like, well, anger is a sin. You know, that's not true. Did you know that? The Bible actually says, in your anger, do not sin. So anger itself isn't always sinful. In fact, anger is an emotional capacity given to you by your Father in heaven. And did you know this? God, the Father, he gets angry. Remember, God is perfectly loving. So understand, anger is often evidence of great love. For instance, if you hurt my wife, you threaten my kids, I'm going to get angry. I'll see you in the parking lot, okay? I'm not pastor anymore. We go fight club. I get angry. Why? Because I love them. See, the opposite of love is not anger. The opposite of love is apathy, not caring. So there are times, if you're a loving person, men, when you should get angry. The problem isn't anger. The problem is how it's expressed. There's a right way, there's a wrong way to express anger. One's helpful, one is harmful. And when you manage anger properly, let me tell you something, it's actually very powerful. Channeled correctly, anger produces great marriages. Managed correctly, great athletes, great businesses, great ministries, great parents. But when you mishandle anger, it can destroy everything in its path. It can burn down families, marriages, friendships, relationships with those you love the most. Now, here's the problem. What I have found is that when you grew up, nobody taught you how to manage your anger. My guess is you didn't learn it from your father. You didn't learn it from your parents. You didn't learn it in school, probably. You definitely didn't learn it in business. And in most churches, they don't even touch and teach what I'm going to teach you today. And so as a result, we live right now in what scientists are calling the age of rage, where people are, notice this, like they're easily triggered. Like you just go to Walmart, you're like, something's going to happen. They fly off the handle when they feel hurt or offended or upset. So if I asked you, kids or dad, you know, what makes dad mad? Like, who's the person in your life, man, who makes your blood really boil? Like, maybe it's your boss at work or a spouse who's critical or your kids don't listen on the first ask or the second ask. I always have to ask. Maybe it's your in-laws who are condescending. They're here today for the baby dedication. Just smile at them. So it's glad you're in church. Can you visualize that person in your head who makes you mad? I said visualize, don't point, okay? Now, let me ask you this. How do you typically express your anger? Because what I've noticed is that most men typically go to one of two extremes. They either blow up or they clam up. They either become a maniac or they become a mute. On the one hand, you got the maniac who screams and yells and throws things around when he gets you red in the face and that little vein in the middle of your forehead starts bulging, right? Anybody here? Again, now leave that picture up here. I want people to figure it out. You may feel better, maniacs, after that temper tantrum, but everybody else in the home feels dazed and confused because it's like Mount Vesuvius just erupted. How many grew up in a home where it's like, dad's mad again. Dad is mad. Watch out. That's the maniac. But others of you are like, that's not me, man. I'm not that. I'm the mute. When you get angry, you don't kick puppies, you don't punch walls. You go silent, you get quiet, you suppress your anger. This is the guy who's always smiling even when he's angry. You ever have that? And some of you go, are you upset? No, I'm not mad. No, I'm not angry. No big deal. You're like, I think the guy is a psychopath. And the reality is, you know they're mad as hornets, but they just stuff their emotions and bury it down deep inside because they hate conflict, but you gotta be very careful. You bury your anger, that frozen rage, it will turn toxic. And it will spill out eventually, poisoning your relationships long term. So I'm just kind of curious, men, which you are. Can you just let me know just how many of you would say you're the maniac? Okay, awesome. You're ready to charge the stage even right now. Okay, the mute, you're like, I don't wanna rock the boat. Should I raise my hand? Do you explode? Do you implode? The reality is when you get angry, and all of us do, neither of those extremes is healthy. Neither of them is biblical. The Bible actually teaches us how to manage our anger appropriately so that actually builds up relationships instead of burning them to the ground. So I want to open God's word to Ephesians chapter 4. It's also in your mobile app. I want to see what we can learn from God about how to manage our God-given anger in a healthy way. And this is Ephesians 4, and let's say this out loud together. I'm going to put it up on the screen, all our campuses. Ready? In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And then he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now today I'm going to teach you how to get rid of rage for good with God's help. Because all of us get angry at some point, and Jesus has been there, right? That's the name of the series. Whatever emotion or challenge you face, Jesus has been there. Have you ever felt temptation? Jesus has been there. Have you ever felt lonely or sad? Jesus has been there. Ever felt angry, man? Jesus has been there. In fact, on one occasion, Jesus got so angry, he went into the church and he flipped over the tables because he was so angry and upset by the money changers who were buying and selling and ripping off the poor people that he actually made a cord of whips, flipped over the tables, and drove them out of the temple in righteous anger. Now understand, just lean in. Righteous anger is a very rare thing, okay? Righteous anger is not what you feel when the light turns green and the person in front of you is just sitting there texting, you know, and they don't move in their car, and you're like, what the? That's not righteous anger. Righteous anger is not what you feel when the Yankees blow a lead and lose an extra innings, okay? You feel angry, ain't righteous, okay? That's just your flesh. But sometimes anger is appropriate, and you have to learn how to express it in a healthy way. And what I want to show you is five steps from God's word to tame your temper for good. If you're taking notes, the first step to tame your temper is this. It's to you resolve, everyone say resolve, you resolve to manage it. What I mean by that is you stop making excuses and say, I can't control my temper. You actually acknowledge, you know what, anger is actually a choice, just like love. When you get angry, you are choosing to get mad. Nobody can make you mad. I hear that all the time. Oh, he makes me so mad. Listen, nobody can make you mad without your permission. The Bible says anger is a choice. And you choose whether to manage it or not. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 29, Book of Wisdom, verse 11 says this. Foolish people, fools, lose their tempers, but wise people do what? They control theirs. What that means is it's a choice. It's a responsibility. So when you get angry, understand you're choosing to give up control, and you can't blame anybody else. What I notice is a lot of men play the blame game. We blame our families for our anger. Well, you know, my dad had this huge temper. That's just how my family is. Or you know, well, I'm Italian, you know, or Irish or Latino. We're hot-blooded people. No. The truth is you have far more control over your anger than you want to admit. Let me prove it to you. Let's pretend you're at home, and let's say you're in an argument, you know, with your spouse, and, you know, voices are raised, and you're yelling, and they're all upset, and things are kind of escalating, and all of a sudden the phone rings, you're like, no, hello? Hey, yeah, no, absolutely, she's right here, yeah, it's for you, right? What happened in that moment? You changed on a dime. In that moment, you flipped a little switch because you didn't want to look embarrassed or out of control, so understand, anger is a choice, and that's always the first step. You actually resolve to manage it. What that means is you decide in advance. You don't decide when your blood pressure's rising, your adrenaline is pumping, that little vein's popping out of the side of your neck. No, you lost the battle at that point. You resolve to manage it in advance. That's what resolve means. You decide in advance. You know, before I walk into this meeting to deal with my difficult boss, before I make that phone call to that PIA customer, you say, you know what, no matter what happens, I'm not gonna get angry. Before I open this door at home to go speak with my teenager who broke curfew again, you decide, I am actually not, above all things, whatever happens, I'm not gonna lose my temper. And you actually commit to God to de-escalate it before it happens. Not in the heat of the moment. You say, anger is a choice, and I'm gonna make the wise choice to control mine. And how you do that is by remembering the cost of anger. Everybody say, remember the cost. Remember the cost. See, there's always a price tag to anger. The Bible gives dozens of verses about the cost of losing your cool. Proverbs, again, 29, 22, look at this. Hot tempers start fights, but a calm, cool spirit keeps the peace. I love that. Hot tempers start fights. Well, again, what I have found, this really actually applies to men and women, is that people tend to be either a turtle or a skunk when there's conflict. You guys know what I mean by that? If you're a turtle, when there's conflict, you pull your neck back in and you hide in your shell. You're just kind of, I'm gonna withdraw, just kind of wait for it to blow over. On the other hand, if there's conflict and you're a skunk, you just stink the place up. When you're mad, everybody knows it, right? You just fill the room with a funk, and everybody's like, "Dad's mad again." Okay, quick survey. How many of you are in conflict are turtles? Turtles, you kind of withdraw hands, turtles. How many of the skunk? The skunk funking it up. Okay, now here's the funny part for men and women. I've performed a lot of weddings, and what I have found is skunks always marry turtles, and turtles always marry skunks. It's just God's sense of humor that he puts opposites together. He's like, "Yeah, watch this one, Jesus." Married folks, let me give you a few facts about anger that you may not know. Did you know the average woman loses her temper 3 times a week, while the average man loses his temper 6 times a week, almost double, okay, double. Women mostly get angry most of the time at people and relationships. I can't believe she said that. Do you think she really? While men mostly get angry at things and events, like stupid lawnmower broke again, Home Depot's gone, you know, or the traffic is bad, or the Mets lost, whatever it is. Single adults actually get angry twice as often as married adults, likely because the spouse is a little bit of a lightning rod. Men are far more physical in their anger than women, and you are more likely to express your anger at home than any other environment in the world, at home. And I know some of you are like, "Well, duh." Listen, successful marriages are not marriages where anger or conflict don't exist. Rather, it's where husband and wife have learned, we're gonna manage this together. Because if anger is managed, it produces great marriages. It produces great friendships, very rich relationships in all areas. Proverbs 11:29 says this, it says, "The fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left." Big idea of the day, guys. You ready? I want to say it together. When anger wins, you lose. Say that with me. When anger wins, you lose every single time, guys. You want to be a loser? Get angry. I want you to think about this, men. When you lose your temper, you lose so much. In fact, I'm going to give you, when you leave today, a little card that says this very thing on it. And it's going to be held out at all of our campuses. So this is just the men. This is for you to put in your wallet. And when you say, like, Tim, when it says, when anger wins, you lose, what do you lose? Here's what you lose. Trust with your wife. Respect from your kids. You can lose the love of your family. Fathers, you have probably learned by now that you can scare kids into doing just about anything by getting angry at them. Did your parents ever do that with you? Just try to scare you? "Hey, if you don't brush your teeth, I'm going to come in there." Anybody? No? Just, okay. No? "If you don't go to bed right now, turn that off, I'm gonna..." Why? Why does that work? Because anger always works in the short term. You can actually get people to do just about almost anything by scaring them. But the long-term effects are devastating. There are 3 price tags long-term for anger. Aggression, then there's apathy and alienation. For instance, aggression. If you work for an aggressive boss, anybody got an aggressive boss? Kind of is always like yelling at you, keeping you, never know where you stand, threatens to, like, you know, you're not going to be here forever if you go on doing that. They threaten to fire you. They, when you make a mistake, they just blow up. Let me ask you this. Does their anger motivate you? Almost never. Most times you act hostile in return. You get aggressive. Second, if they keep getting angry, pretty soon you feel just apathy. You feel apathy and you go, "You know what? I can't please them. They're just always angry. I'm always the one wrong." By the way, this is the way a lot of teenagers feel about their parents. I can't please them. They're always angry. So they can become apathetic. "You know, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to stop trying. Dad's never going to be pleased about this, you know?" And if you keep getting angry, pretty soon there comes alienation. They will start pulling away to protect themselves. And the relationship gets strained or broken. So understand, men, when anger wins, you lose every single time. You may get short-term compliance, but in the long run, you destroy the relationship with your child or with your wife. That's why you have to resolve to manage it and then remember the cost. And then the third thing the Bible says to do is you reflect before reacting. Everyone say that. Reflect before reacting. In other words, you think before you speak. If you're going to tame your temper, guys, you've got to watch your words. You put your mind in gear before you open your mouth. Here's what James 1:19 says. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to what? Become angry. In other words, when something ticks you off or makes you bad, the Bible says that's the moment you need to slow down. You go bullet time. You take your time, you watch your words. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. In other words, one of the best tools for managing your anger is delaying your reaction. When your temperature starts rising, you take actually a step back and you wait a minute. Give you an example. If you get an upsetting email, anybody get upsetting emails? That's basically my job description, okay? Thank you for those. I appreciate them. I forward them right on Pastor Kyra. I really appreciate that. You don't email back instantly. If somebody says something critical or mean, I always take a step back. I say, oh, tell me more about that. Even though I don't necessarily always want to hear more, because believe me, as a pastor, I have a whole folder full of angry email drafts that I've ripped it, but I've never sent, okay? You can read them after my funeral, all right? Be like, wow, that guy was... Guys, you never hit send when you're angry. Be slow to speak, God says. You know who said that? Actually, President Thomas Jefferson. He invented the idea you have to count to 10 when you get angry. You know there's actually wisdom in that? The longer you hold your temper, the more it actually cools. Proverbs 29:11 says this, a stupid man, anybody want to be stupid? Stupid man gives free rein to his anger. Just let it go, man, just let it all out. That's what the world will tell you. But a wise man waits, delays, and lets it grow cool. Notice the word, everyone say cool. This is God saying, guys, chill out. It's God saying, cool it, guys. Hit pause, take a step back, and give yourself room to reflect. Have you noticed, by the way, it's very hard to put your foot in your mouth when it's closed. The longer you delay your response, the more it cools. Now listen, I want to clarify this for the mutes. I'm not talking about delaying for a week or a month or a year. Remember, Ephesians said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, God's like, you don't carry anger from today over until tomorrow. And the truth is, if you hold on to anger for more than 24 hours, it turns into something toxic called resentment. And resentment is sin. Anger is not always sin. Resentment always is sin. Big difference. So I'm not saying, oh, just stuff your anger, carry around your heart for weeks and months and don't deal with it. No, no. I'm saying that if you get into an argument and you both start to get emotional about it, it's your job as the man to say, time out, can I call time, can we just take a 5-minute break? Maybe you need to go actually just sit in another room, or actually even better, take a walk outside. Colleen and I do this in our marriage all the time. I started doing it about 3 days into our marriage, yeah. Sometimes when we have strong opinions about something, as the man, I'll actually say, honey, can I just time out? I'm not trying to like mute you. I just need to take a walk. And I learned, again, we've been married 25 years. I've learned these skills. I need to also tell her, I'm not running away from you. I just need 15 minutes to clear my head and process this with the Lord. And then I literally will walk outside around the block. I will do some deep breaths. Holy Spirit, help me. And I'll pray. And I'll pray, Lord, give me your eyes in this situation. I will literally say, Father, give me your heart for my wife. Help me hear what she's saying and not get defensive. And Colleen will tell you, I come back a different man. I come back changed. I'm calmer. I'm more empathetic because I've let things cool down. The Bible says you reflect before you react. Now the question is, what do you reflect on while you're waiting? You have to ask this question. What's really behind my anger? What's underneath my anger? Because anger is a surface emotion. You gotta pop the hood. You know that? Anger is actually not a primary emotion. It's a secondary emotion on the surface that's a symptom of something under the hood. Anger is that warning light on your emotional dashboard blinking, trying to tell you something's off, something's wrong. And when you get angry, there's usually 3 root causes. Hurt, frustration, or fear. You guys know this. When you get hurt physically, anger is just a natural response, right? Someone wounds you with their words, first instinct, strike back, right? Because you're hurt. Frustration is when you're trying to accomplish a goal. I'm going to put this mirror in just right, and you keep getting thwarted. Like when you're late for a meeting and you know, you're already 5 minutes behind, you know, you're forced to wait in traffic, and oh, this idiot on the side of the road, and now the cops are here. I'm guilty of this 2 or 3 times a week. I'm perpetually 10 minutes behind schedule. So I'll be like speeding because it's like, oh my gosh, staff prayer meeting starts in 5 minutes. And then the guy in front of me doesn't like instantly go when the, you know, turns green. And so I'm like, can you just please get the hell out of my way? I'm late for prayer meeting. Okay. Like what? What? I let anybody else lose their faith in Jersey traffic? Okay, that's just I lose my salvation. Frustration causes anger. And the third cause is really fear. When you're afraid, and I don't mean like, oh no, I'm afraid of a bear. Afraid of losing influence. Afraid of losing money. Afraid of losing someone you love. Men often get angry. So last weekend, my mom, who is 82 years old, fell and she broke her hip. And thank you for those of you who are praying. It was very, very upsetting. And she's had surgery and she's into rehab and all that. But it was so odd because my first emotion, this is gonna sound weird to you maybe, my first emotion was to get angry. I was like, why wasn't her aide watching her? What was she doing? Why was she reaching for that thing? Is that weird? Like, you'd be like, why wouldn't you have compassion and sympathy? And that's your, my default reaction was angry. And the real answer is, I was angry because I'm really sad. I am sad about my mom aging and losing her health. If you pop the lid of Pastor Tim's heart, that's what's really underneath my anger. Sadness about my aging parents. Grief for what they're suffering through. It's interesting, C.S. Lewis, the brilliant Christian apologist, he said this, I sat with my anger long enough until she told me her real name was grief. Man, that's why you reflect before you react. It's God's invitation to pop the hood and see what's under there. Is it hurt? Is it grief? Sadness? Disappointment for the way life is going? These are the more messy emotions that most men are not comfortable with, but it's key to identify so that you can release it to God. Fourth step, you analyze your anger and then you release it to the Lord for healing. Now remember this, anger is not a sin, it's an emotion. And some of you might push back on that, but let me tell you this, if anger was a sin, then God's a sinner, because did you know God gets angry? God gets angry when he sees a rape. God gets angry when he sees children being abused. God gets angry when he sees poor people ignored by the rich. God gets angry when he sees racial prejudice and injustice. There's just a lot of stuff in this world that you just gotta say, it's flat out evil, and you know what? You ought to get angry about those things. But the Bible says, in your anger, do not what? Sin. That is, you gotta release your anger appropriately. You don't express it, blah, 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 vomit. You don't suppress it and stuff it down. You confess it to God. You actually tell your Father how angry and hurt you really are. And you ask him to help control your anger. Forgive that person and heal your heart. And let me tell you, men, if you will get honest with God, he can heal your heart and set you free. Just ask Rex Curtis. Rex is one of my good friends here at Liquid. He leads a small group for men, has a huge heart for guys in our church. In fact, Rex has poured into lives of so many young men, husbands, fathers, grandfathers, all because of what the Lord did in his life. For many years, Rex would tell you he was an angry man, and he used alcohol to kind of numb the pain in his life until Jesus healed his heart and set him free. And so I asked Rex if he'd share his story with us on Father's Day. Guys, would you give a big Liquid welcome to my brother, Rex Curtis. Hey, Rex, right here. What's up, my man?
Heart to heart.
Heart to heart, my brother. Come on, sit down. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
So grateful for you. I mean, one of the things I really respect most about you is how honest and transparent you are. Like a lot of men, you've struggled with anger. You've been very honest about that. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Sure. I grew up under a very strict disciplinarian in my father. And for many years, my adult years from teens to almost 37 years old, I abused alcohol without getting into any real significant trouble. Though in 1995, I got a DUI. When I woke up the next morning, I found the paperwork without any memory of the arrest.
Wow.
The desire to drink, though, after a couple of weeks was gone. And I believe that that was a miracle of God and did not give him credit for it at the time. I've been sober now for 28 years.
Bro, incredible accomplishment, amazing achievement. But tell us, even though your sobriety came, how anger started seeping into your marriage and family.
Well, for 4 years, I attended AA and learned that I had been anesthetizing my feelings, burying past events in order to hide from my past and not deal with my emotions. But we then moved to Detroit, and I stopped attending AA. Over the next 5 to 7 years, my anger went from irritations to totally out of control rage, mainly taking it out on my family, my wife, Kathy, and my 4 kids.
What was like, you know, when you talk about popping the hood, what was behind that rage? Were you able to trace it back to its roots?
Well, in 2007, I was asked to join a small group men's Bible study by a man who had something that I wanted. I couldn't put my finger on it. And while I was not a Christ follower, I agreed, as I'm a joiner, after several group meetings, he offered anyone in the group that wanted to join in what he called a men's story weekend. And I signed up, and that was much to his surprise. The story weekend, well, it was designed for each of us to share our story, the 5 major events that defined us in our lives and made us who we were. I wrote my story, but then when it was my turn to share, I literally read only about a paragraph. And then, boom, all my baggage, the abuse, the hurt, the shame, the mistakes I had made, everything came boiling out of me along with 45 minutes of total sobbing. And guys, it's okay to cry. When I got home a day later, Kathy, my wife, noticed something very different about me. And the anger was gone, completely gone. And the only explanation was that this was the Holy Spirit miracle in my life that I had never prayed for, never asked for, but I did make myself available to Him to allow Him to work in me. It was then that I turned my life over to Christ and got baptized.
Can we give God a praise for that? I mean, that's incredible, Rex. That's, you can see that's even close to the surface to your heart. So you got ruthlessly honest with your story, your family of origin, even the hurts, the shame, the abuse, mistakes. And God did some deep healing in your heart, but that's not all. This is amazing. Tell us what happened after that.
Well, for several years after, I was in a men's group with the same men that I was on Story Weekend with, and through their encouragement over a couple of years, almost weekly, encouraging me to go see my dad. I didn't have the courage to do it. But one day a guy said to me, he said, "Why don't you go have your dad tell you his story?" And that resonated with me because of the power of story. And so I got on a plane, flew down to Orlando, got in a car, prayed for 2.5 hours to go to Naples, go in and see my dad, and I asked him 100 questions. We met for about 9 hours. I didn't know how to ask the final question, but it did come freely to me. "Where did you learn how to discipline?" He told me a story about how he was arrested at age 13 after stealing a pickup truck with his buddy. His mom, my grandmother, then sent him to a private military academy in Missouri, and this was in the 1940s. And he said, "If you screwed up, you got the crap beat out of you." And I guess that's where I learned it. That story led me to feel empathy for this 13-year-old boy that was now sitting in front of me. And I offered forgiveness, which allowed us to restore our relationship. And actually, he then said how proud he was of me for the first time in his life.
Wow.
Again, the Holy Spirit moved. It was then that I realized again the power of story, God's love for me. I was not deserving, and yet He still moved.
That is incredible. So God actually gave you the strength to forgive your father and restore your relationship. Guys, don't miss this. Nothing is impossible for God. Amen? He can redeem and restore even the most broken relationships. Now, final question, Rex. What would you say to the men here today, who either struggle in their relationship with their father, or maybe they're just aware of their anger, but they're not sure what to do with it?
4 things. 1, join a men's group. Be in community with other men that you can share your heart with. Write your story. Be authentic, transparent with yourself and with others. 3, find a confidant who trusts you so that you can share your story, be honest with your secrets, and expose the hidden hurt in your life. Story is just so powerful. It requires authenticity, self-reflection, and the willingness to be transparent with another confidant to unleash the innermost secrets and allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life.
Guys, first off, can we thank Rex for sharing his story with us? Thank you, my brother. What a gift. Rex and his wife, Kathy, are actually moving back to Detroit, so we will miss you, but you always have a home at Liquid, my brother. We love you. Can we hear from Rex and Kathy? Love you guys. Thank you, my brother. What a gift. I hope you're blessed by that. I hope you're inspired by that, man. It's the power of acknowledging your anger and then look at that, releasing it to God. And only after you confess it to your Heavenly Father, then do you confess it to the person you love. Not for revenge, but for reconciliation. It's called releasing your anger in love. That's the goal of love, to repair and rebuild relationship. And that's why you have to rely on Christ's help. Fifth and final step, if you're going to manage your anger for good. I end with this because I just know what some of you men are thinking right now. You're like, Tim, that's amazing for Rex, but there's no way I could do that on my own. Guess what? You're right. You can't do it alone, but God can help you. How? Look at what he says. Last verse, it says, get rid, Paul says, of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Get rid of it. Brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Doing what? Forgiving each other. How? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Friends, your anger problem isn't going to be solved by a self-help book or watching Dr. Phil. The only solution is God's power to transform you on the inside. When the love of Jesus Christ fills a broken heart and you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, God the Father's anger at my sin was actually poured out on Jesus. Amen? On that cross, God's only Son, he bears all of the world's bitterness, anger, and rage in his body. And because of that, your Heavenly Father is not angry with you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. When you experience God's love and forgiveness called grace at your core, it changes you from the inside out, like Rex. He gives you a new heart. You can extend the same love and forgiveness to others. That's how God heals your anger. He goes to the heart of the problem, and the heart of the problem is a problem in your heart. See, anger doesn't start in your family history. It starts in your heart. Bible says, whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. So when you see someone with a harsh tongue, it reveals a hurting heart. But when we see someone who's honest and encouraging with their words, you know what's inside their heart. It's the Spirit of Christ. They've got God's love in their heart. And so, men, I don't know where you're at, but maybe you're here today and you just would admit, like, I got anger issues. Join the club. There's only one solution. You need a new heart. You need a heart transplant. In Psalm 51, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. You know, maybe you were raised in a home like Rex where you felt unseen or unloved or unworthy. Or you've been hurt maybe by somebody you love or someone betrayed you. Or a father you looked up to never gave you the approval you were looking for and you feel angry or insecure. You know, God says, I see you. I see you, my son. And it matters to me. Because I love you, and Jesus has been there, and he can heal your heart if you will ask him. God can literally change and fill your heart with his peace, and I can think of no better day, it's Father's Day, than to invite God into your heart right now. So all our campuses, would you bow your heads for prayer with me? Just let's open our hands, posture of receiving right now. Father, I just pray right now. I know you're speaking to men and to women right now. This is for all of us. And Lord, we would just admit, we often get angry at the people that we love the most. People we're closest to. And Lord, I know there's just people here today listening online or at the campuses who are just struggling with anger. Jesus, help them in this moment. Whatever hurt or frustration or fear, help them confess it honestly to you right now so they can experience your healing today. Again, with all heads bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're here today and in an honest moment, you would say, Tim, that's me. I need God's help. I have anger. I need God's healing. Would you just raise your hand right now so I can see it, so I can pray for you? Just raise your hand so your campus pastor can see it. If you want to release your anger to God, invite Jesus to heal your heart today. And here's what I want to do. With your hand in the air, what I want you to do is I want you to make your hand into a fist. Can you do that? With your hand raised like mine, just clench it into a fist. It's the way of saying, man, I have some anger issues I'll be honest about. And I want you to pray out loud with me. Just repeat these words out loud after me. Say it out loud. Say, "Dear Jesus, I admit I struggle with anger. I need your help. God, I need a heart transplant. Today I ask Jesus Christ, fill my heart with your forgiveness and your love. I open my hand." Now go ahead, open your hand. Just say, "I open my hand." It's a symbol of opening my heart to you. Say, "Jesus, I release every ounce of bitterness, of rage, unforgiveness, of revenge. I release it all to you. Come into my heart and save me. Cleanse me. Change me from the inside out. I'm sorry for hurting those I love. Please forgive me. Holy Spirit, I receive your healing, your power, your peace, and your freedom. In Jesus' name, amen." Man, that's awesome, man. I love hearing so many voices talking to your Heavenly Father. Hey, listen, guys, he is the only perfect father you will ever have. And now you are part of his family. As your pastor, I love you. I'm so proud of you. Hey, if something spoke to you today, again, men and women, maybe something touched a nerve, or you're like, "Man, God's speaking to me about this." If you'd like prayer, our prayer team is gonna come up front right now at all of our campuses. They're gonna be up here ready to pray with you and for you after today's service. And like I said, on your way home today, I've got a little Father's Day gift for all the men here. It's a little card we made to fit in your wallet. On the front, it says, "When anger wins, you lose." And on the back, 5 steps to manage your anger, along with those Bible verses we learned. Just stick that in your wallet, men, as a little reminder, okay? Your Father loves you, the Holy Spirit is in you, and with Christ, all things are possible. Amen? Guys, God bless you as you go. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Love you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.